All right. Thank you for hosting. Thank you for lunch. So today, we're going to discuss and consider two tragedies that we learn about in this coming week's Parsha and Parsha's Noach. And what I'd like for us to think about overall, in terms of what our takeaway is from these messages, is how similar and how different are they, and what can we learn from these stories for our own spiritual development, for our own experiences. So let's begin with the first tragedy. What is the first description? What's the first problem that we encounter in the Parsha? Right, there was corruption, there was robbery, and because of that, we witness a destruction. Now, what is, so Perek Vav here on the top in source number one describes how bad it was. It says, Ki hishkis kol basar is darko al haaretz. So things were obviously very, very serious. And if you look down in number three, what does the Gemara tell us in Sanhedrin? 108a, Ki hishkis kol basar is darko al haaretz. All flesh had totally corrupted or gone astray. Am Rabbi Yochanan Melamed Shehirviu Behema Al Chaya, that the people mixed bread, domesticated animals with wild animals, and wild animals with and people and everything. It was a total confusion of values. It was completely morally bankrupt. So you want to read the source number two?
Quick question.
Yes.
Ishchit, is that the same source as Shita?
No, different. That's with the test. This is with the tough. This comes from the word hashchata, which means destruction, like bal tashchis. Go ahead. Why don't you read number two?
Okay. Vayigva kol basar haromes al haaretz ba'of v'abemehema v'achayah v'chol hasheretz hashareitz al haaretz v'chol ha'adam. Kol asher nishmas v'chaim apav mikol asher b'charava mesu. Vayimach es kol ha'yukum asher al pnei ha'adamah me'adam v'ad behema ad remes v'ad of hashamayim v'yimachu min ha'aretz v'yishayar ach noach v'asher ito b'teva.
So, what was the punishment?
Complete destruction. Total destruction.
Nuclear bomb.
Exactly. Now let's contrast this with the second story. Who wants to read? Nine psukim in the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. One of the most mysterious episodes in all of Chumash.
I'll be happy to read.
Go ahead.
They call our tefachat very machadim. Even the nasam mikedem in su bakav eretz shinar biyishu sham v'yomru ish over ehu hava nil benal lebenim v'nisrufal l'srufa.
So what does that mean? They said to each other, "Let us nil benal lebenim."
Build the bricks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Vayalem lechomer. Vayomru hava nibne lanu ir umingdal rosho b'shamayim v'nasei lanu shem pen nachutz al pnei kol ha'aretz. Are we translating the Dorsh?
Go ahead. Yep. So what did they say?
So they had these Lebanon, they had these bricks, and they said they're going to use it as homer, like potential
material
to
do what? Live nel lanu ir. Let's build for ourselves a city
and a tower at its head. Into the Shemaim, into the heavens, that will make for us there, lest that we the fruits that we like spread out again or something.
That's right.
On the face of all the land. Vayered Amnali wrote it that year with Migdal Asher Banu Pnei Adam. God came down to see the city and the tower that children of Adam had created. Yomer Nai Hen Am Echad V'Sapa Echad L'Chulam V'Ze.
Wow. Look at this. What did he say?
He said that there's everybody is one and the language is one. Zeiflim, like Chalik started, like so what they started to do. This is what they started to make. And now, Lloyd Butzer, man, them is like, he's not going to stop that?
Mm-hmm. No, it's not going to stop.
I mean, it's like...
Is it supposed to be like, am I not going to stop? Right?
Nothing is... Is no one going to stop them from what they're doing?
Right, right.
I mean, look what's going on over here.
It's like a terrible thing to be unified and to come to a common purpose. What a terrible thing.
Yeah, Yasu's like Adim Zoma meme, right? Like
to initiate. Yes, to intend, to initiate.
Hava nerdav ve'navla sham spatan masher lo ishmu ish svat re'ehu. Let's go down and mix up their language so that one person will not be able to hear what the other person, the language of the other person. Yefes adonai otam isham.
What does the word yishmu in this context mean? Shema Yisrael?
Understand.
Right, understand. Right, they'll hear each other, but they won't understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he spread them out over the land, and that's an interesting word, yachdilu. Like they stopped or ceased from building the city. Strange that it doesn't include the tower there. Alken Karash Shma Babel. Misham Arnai Svat Kol Ha'aret. Misham Hibitzam Arnai Alken Kol Ha'aret. That's why it's called Babel, because that is the place where everything was. Where he mixed up the language, and that's the place where he sent them out across the land.
So why was God so upset?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the million-dollar question. What is wrong?
It doesn't seem this seems to be a great thing.
It's
utopia,
terrific, right?
Everybody loves each other.
What's the problem?
So also, it's just strange. Lashon just let us build, supposed to, and they built the towers as. Kind of listens to their quote. They said, "Let us build." Why would it's a strange thing for the pasuk to say? I don't know if there's any significance
right?
to that.
This is one of the most perplexing portions in all of Chumash. What's wrong?
Right, from simple pshat, it doesn't seem like they did anything wrong. We need the Mefarshim to tell us. Okay, they were trying to go against God, but outside of that, which obviously that's wrong, but this in the face.
But why was it against God? Where does it even say the word against
God? No, that's the thing. It doesn't. That's
why not.
Say
anything.
Actually, I don't know how the Mefarshim derive that. But
so look at this on the bottom. You see this medrash in the Bereishis Rabbah, Dvarim Achadim, which can be understood. Says the medrash says Diburim Achadim, singular, soul things or specific things. So the medrash makes the following comment: Maisa Dor Hamabul, the store. The story, excuse me, of the Dor HaMabul, Nisparish. What does the word Lehitparish mean?
Can be explained.
That's right. But Maisa Dor HaPalaga, Lo Nisparish, it's not explained. The Pasuk, the Medrash is exactly on the issue that you're raising. It's Lo Nisparish. It's not explained, it's not clarified. What's going on here?
Is it a threat to God?
So if so, why or how?
Well, they want to emulate. They want to show that they have this great power to be able to build something that would actually make it into the heavens.
Okay, so that's one approach in Chazal. Very good. That there is a tradition that they were building a tower to fight against God.
I don't know,
but it's not enough.
Or compete with God.
Yeah, maybe.
Good.
We can be just as good.
Good. Okay.
Could Dvarim Achadim also kind of like use Echadim as like Echad?
One purposes.
But not just that, but maybe purposes like of oneness. Maybe
okay.
They were attacking.
They wanted to be similar to God. Okay, good. So what I'd like to understand is what is at the root of this problem, at the root of this quote-unquote sin of the Dor, what we call the Dor HaFlaga, the age of the dispersion. And now we can also think about how does this story, this Dor, they're both referred to as Dor, right? Like the Medrash said, there's the Dor HaMabel and the Dor HaFlaga. How did they match up with each other? Did they have anything to do with each other?
On the one hand, we're saying that there wasn't seemingly such a great problem they did, but with the punishment, it wasn't such a great punishment either.
Right? Excellent. So that's another thing to look at here, which is contrasting the consequence of the Dor HaFlaga, which was...
Just got dispersed.
Dispersion, exactly. With the Dor HaMabul, where there was...
Destruction.
Okay? So, let's skip ahead, just because of time.
Just one other thing, I think, in regard to the punishment. Not being able to understand one another's language is a very serious problem. it's not just an easy punishment.
Okay, good.
People don't understand each other. It makes for a lot of strife and conflict.
Good. So let's try to also think about why the punishment fits the crime, or how the punishment fits the crime in these cases. So I want to skip to number 9 because I realize we're not going to have time to do everything, you know, but only. So let's just go straight to number 9. Because we can suggest that there is actually a very powerful model that is an undercurrent of these stories and other stories in Bereishis, believe it or not. These two doros, the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlaga, are two sides of a coin. What is that coin? When the Ribbono Shel Olam creates the world, he creates man in a distinct way from the prior creatures. Initially, all the creatures were created, Vayivra Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, Vayas Elokim. They were all created, like it says in source number 9, like an end of Sefer, in the end of Perek Aleph and Bereishis, they were all created as natural beings. The word Elokim, we'd like to say, is the same gematria as the word Hateva, the nature. Elokim is the word that we use to describe our relationship with Hashem, which is one of nature, the laws of nature. So God created light, he created dark, he created plants and fish and people, creatures. But then in Perek Beis he does something else. He creates man again. He already created man, right? In Source 9, here at the end, Perek Aleph, in Pasuch of Zion, Vayivra Elokim es ha'adam betzalmo, God created the man within his image, betzalam Elokim baroso, zachar nekeva barozam. He created him once, but now he creates him again. Vayitzer, now it's not Vayivra, it's Vayitzer, like at a wedding, asher yatzar es ha'adam betzalmo, and now it's Vayitzer Hashem Elokim, a new name. It's the name of a transcendent God, of Hashem, who is not within nature, but beyond nature. And what does he do? He takes the afar min ha'adama, the physical, that is, the earth, vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, and he blows into his nostrils a living soul, vayi adam lenefesh chaya. And what is that? Look on the left side, you see, Onkelos explains, vahave ba'adam l'ruach mamalala. He was a speaking spirit. Every other creature is a one-dimensional creature. It is just physical. But human beings are a composite. We are Hashem Elokim. We are, on the one hand, Afar Min Ha'adama, earth, but we're also Ruach Mamalala. The word Adam can be from the word Adama, from earth, or as the Gemara says, Afer and Dam and Mara, which means ashes, blood, and bile, the lowest components, or it could be Domeh, L'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Bitzalmo, Bidmuso, Adam Elo Elyon. Adama means I will imagine myself in that way. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us two aspects, a physical aspect and a spiritual aspect, an earthly, a material component, and then a social, spiritual, emotional component. And what happens in Sefer Bereishis is that we find a breakdown of the physical and a breakdown of the spiritual, of the noble. Where do we first find this breakdown? Well, Adam had two sons, But neither of those sons succeeded in creating a legacy, in building a world. Who built the world? His third son, Shace. Oh. So what went wrong with Cain and Hevel?
Well, one of them died.
Well, one of them died, and the other one was a murderer.
Right.
Oh. How could it be that one of them ended up as a murderer and the other one ended up dead? Is that just an accident? No. There is a very important lesson that is that the Torah is trying to tell us here. Look at their names for a second. What do their names mean?
Cain is jealousy.
Well, that would be Kin'ah.
Kinyan?
Yes.
What?
Liknot. To be kone, to acquire.
Hevel means nothingness.
And Hevel means nothingness. So look at this. There's an essay on this in Nechama Leibowitz. So I give you the English piece on the bottom, quoting from the Abarbanel. Nechama Leibowitz develops this idea at length. What does it mean that Hevel was a roetzon v'kain haya ovid adama? Look at the fourth line down. Pursuing material things and the accumulation of possessions symbolized in his name Cain, which comes from a Hebrew word root meaning acquisition. You know what? There's one way of corrupting material life, making that your obsession. Your whole identity is all in your kinyanim. You can't take it with you. That's not what life is about. But Cain, the Torah is presenting as a personality who is obsessed with being kona things. It was all about the acquisitions, right? It was what they call it, M&A, right? It's all about what he can acquire. That's a corruption of the Adama. He was a tiller of the land, meaning he was somebody who focused on the material to an extent that was totally unbalanced and unhealthy and not spiritual. And what's Hevel? Says the Abarbanel, Hevel comes from the word meaning havolim, illusory. Abel, however, the proud-hearted who pursued illusory honor and lordship, became a keeper of sheep. And that's why, for this reason, he was called Hevel, since honors and offices are vanity. Interesting. So what happens now? We have two gifts, the material and the social, the spiritual. Cain abuses the material, and Hevel abuses the spiritual. Right? Honor, that's not a physical thing. It's not lunch, or it's not something you put in your kitchen, but it's how you feel. That's a spiritual quality of man. That's the speaking spirit. They both went off the rails. Well, now, what happens with our case studies? What happens? So skip ahead. We don't have time for 12 through 14. That's another model. Because I'll just tell it to you. I'll regalachas. Think about the model between Chum and Yefes, as opposed to shame. That's not for today, but that's if we would have had time. What happens with Dor HaMabul, line 15? So the Dor HaMabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given us so many things in humanity. Dor HaMabul on Nizkoel B'Shvil Tova Sheshpilam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God gave them everything physical. So what did they do? They went wild. So Rashi says in 16, V'tishaches Lashon Erva. There was an element here of physical impropriety. Chamas means, what does the word chamas mean? Thievery. It's the same root as Cain. It's about grabbing and taking. Let's fast forward. There's the Tziv in number 17. He says an absolutely stunning pshat in the Dor HaFlaga. What is the problem of being unified? It's all good. Well, depends where that comes from. What if you were living, I don't know, 85 years ago in a society where they told you, we only have one newspaper, and we only have one leader, and we all have to believe the same exact thing, and if you don't do what we say, you go to the gulag. Is that a good thing? Is that a good kind of achdus? Why did Avram Avinu get thrown into the fiery furnace, into the Kibshon Ha'ish? Because he was living at a time where Nimrod was the dictator, the despot. And he said, we're going to have a society of oneness. Which you say, oh great, everybody's lining up. One society, one people. And Lahavdil, you shouldn't even, sorry to even say this, but do you remember, in Germany, you know what they said? Ein Volk, ein Führer. One, everybody together. No, it's good, right? Except, the Nitziv points out, Nimrod said, you know, we're going to put up towers. Why do you need towers? Why do you need a Migdol?
To watch people.
That's right, surveillance. It was the first tyrannical regime.
Interesting.
It was the first society of what Sharansky would call a fear society. Avraham Avinu wants to speak his mind, throw him in a furnace. So whereas the Dor HaMabul was a physical corruption, the Dor HaFlaga was a social corruption. It was a corruption of the spirit. It was the Ruach Mamala, the language, which was abusive. So what does the Rebbe Shlomo do when you corrupt the physical? If you corrupt the physical, there's nothing left. So you have to start over. In the second case, where you corrupt the spiritual, the more noble aspect, he says, you know, it's not that you can't live, it's that you have to be separated, we have to give you different languages. You have to find a different means. Because if it's all about this one language, if it's this forced, coercive type of society, that's never going to work. So we're going to spread you out into 70 languages, and everybody's going to do their own thing. It's a pattern. The same pattern is Kayin, and we didn't get to talk about it, but if you want to think about it on your own, Cham, the son of Noach, and what he did to him and why, and the Dor HaMabul. And on the other side, it's the spiritual side, it's the Hevel, it's Yefes, and it's the Dor HaFlaga. But those are much more refined mistakes. And they don't need to be totally thrown away. Chamd isn't given the same latitude as Yefes. Yefes is given like almost a little blessing. So this is a really important takeaway in our own lives. Because what the Torah is telling us in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, by using these narratives as models, is to say, wait a second. You need to recognize that God created us. We need to recognize that we are a composite. We are both Afar Minho Adama and the Ruach Mamalava, the speaking spirit. And we have to make sure that both of those are in the service of the noble ideal of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to make sure that we are calibrating our physical, material calculations according to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see us build from this world. It's not that we can't be involved in the world. It's that if a person becomes, their identity is Kayin. Is there anything wrong with buying a diamond for somebody? It's probably a mitzvah, right?
But
right?
I would say so.
Totally. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you know.
Even the salad is a mitzvah.
But what's the thing? But here's the thing. Does that become someone's identity? That became his name. His name was Kayin, Kona. Everybody saw him. The only thing they saw was a credit card. What kind of life is that? And the other side, Hevel, everybody sees Hevel, and all they see is a guy who's walking around. You know, people like this, you know, they're only worried about their own cover. So those are both wrong, and those are the precursors for what we're saying. So in our own lives, we need to be mindful to make sure that both elements, the physical element, and also the Ruach element. That's how the Ruach Mamala, the speech, is so important in the Dor HaFlaga. What was it that they corrupted? They didn't know how to communicate correctly. They didn't know how to build a proper society according to human values.
But they had one language.
Yes. Where was that language coming from? It was a coerced language. They were forced. It's like if someone said to you in the Gulag, did you have options? He said, well, no, we didn't have any options. Is that good? It's not good. It wasn't the Lashon HaKodesh with which the world was created. It was the language of one man who defines everything. The Rebbe Shem says it's not like that. You have to be able to give expression. And so when Avraham Avinu comes into the world, where does he come into the world? He comes in right in the next pasuk. And what does he do? And with this we'll conclude because we're out of time. Avraham Avinu does both. Vayita Eshel Bever Sheva. So he gives people lunch. He gives them kinyonim. He makes a living for himself. And what does he do when that's finished? Finish lunch? Bench. Hodu v'shimchu v'barchu, the Gemara says. He would convince people to bench. And at the same time, he created an environment where there was also spiritual nobility. So Avraham Avinu is the answer. It's the Torah's response to both the Dor Hamabul, the generation of the flood, and the Dor HaFlaka. No, that's where you end up.
That's exactly what it is.
Exactly. Our bench is for Rosh Chodesh. Yeah.